You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Henat Baba. Vincent Matthews has been superintendent of the San Francisco Unified School District for a little over 2 years now. His biggest initiative is called Pitch, and it's all about boosting academic outcomes for low-income kids of color, especially African-American students, because as a group, they post the district's lowest math and reading scores. Matthews knows what it's like to be young and Black in public schools here. He's a San Francisco native. So KLW education reporter Lee Romney asked him to drive her around his hometown to talk about his goals, his passions, and his past. He chose four stops: the Bayview School, where he launched his teaching career, his former high school near Twin Peaks, and his elementary school and childhood home, both in the Haight-Ashbury neighborhood. She takes us along for the ride.
This is a baby stroller, affluent baby stroller neighborhood.
Yeah, it wasn't then.
What was it like?
I actually recently saw my kindergarten class photo, and half of it was African American, half the class. We used to play kickball out here.
On the hill, that's challenging.
Yeah, this is where we played. Oh, well, one more. This is the house. My grandmother actually owned the house. So she was married to a man who had a number of shoe shine stands all over the city. They lived on the bottom floor. We lived on that middle floor. That was my mother and father's bedroom.
All right, next stop, Grattan.
Okay, all right. So this is my elementary.
When you were at Grattan, you know, this notion that maybe less was expected of Black students, did you feel any of that?
I'll say I didn't feel it so much at Grattan. I'd say probably 30 to 40% of this school was African American because the neighborhood was completely different than it is now. At Hoover, 5 to 10% were African American, I'd say. And then at McAteer, it was a little higher percentage, but that's where you really felt it. They clearly had tracks and we were put in the lower tracks because the expectation was that we weren't going to go to college.
We know so much that we didn't know then. Why is it so hard?
You know what? I firmly believe that it isn't that we don't know the necessary skills to make sure that Black students are achieving at the highest levels. The bottom line is, do we have the will to make it happen? And so it's not just a San Francisco issue. This is a United States issue. So, for example, we need high quality teachers in all of our schools, but especially in our most needy schools.
Next up, McAteer. I'm not even sure I know where McAteer is.
Oh, well.
Did you come in knowing that this was likely going to be a legacy initiative?
I knew it would be an issue because it's an issue everywhere. I didn't know how big the gap was here in San Francisco. What excited me most, though, was everywhere I went, everybody said, oh, this is what we have to do something about. And I believe that this is what will define us. Kind of like in Apollo 13, where he said, you know, people were like, this is a disaster. And then he says, no, this is our finest hour. If it can't be solved here, it'll make me even less convinced that it can be. And I really think it can be.
And part of that is because of wealth, right?
Absolutely. So you have the wealth of the community, as well as the wealth of so many corporations and businesses that either reside here or, you know, just 40 or 50 miles away down in Silicon Valley.
Does little Vincent Matthews ever pop into your mind?
All the time.
How?
So our mission as a district is that every day for each and every student, we will provide quality instruction and equitable support so that they can thrive in the 21st century. So when I think about that each and every, that's really where the little Vincent comes into place for me. I think about what people did for me. When I first went to McAteer, I was in my sophomore year and my mother had to come up to the school to make sure that the school was preparing me to go to college. Because we just assumed that McAteer would do that. On a Tuesday, I was in classes with students who looked just like me. And basically all of us were in classes that weren't really preparing us for college. And on Wednesday, my courses were all flipped. And now all of a sudden, I'm in classes with students who look nothing like me.
Were you like the only Black boy in those classes?
Absolutely. And so I want to make sure that we are not making determinations on students where we believe they're going to go based on what they look like. So this is McAteer right here. The high school closed, and then it became two schools. That's where we hung out. We can park right here.
So you would take the bus up here.
Yep. Part of that is, you know, as a young African-American male in this area, you didn't want to hang around. And the hang around is because people have suspicions of young African-American males. And if I stayed up here too long, it wouldn't be long before the police would be here. I was involved in sports, so I would be here after school in those arenas. And then if you came off the campus, it was getting on the bus and getting home.
Sounds like you had some of the teachers here at McAteer, right? That really made a difference.
Absolutely. Mr. Disgrazzi, he was my junior social studies teacher. He asked people if they wanted an application to run for office. And my senior year, he handed me an application, and I took it home. And then I decided I wasn't going to run, and I brought it back the next day. And he said, nope, you took it home, now you have to run. So what he realized is that if you're applying for college, being an officer is going to help you get into college. So he pushed, and then I actually won and became vice president of the senior class. And I was one of two African Americans in all of student leadership.
I don't know if there was one moment, but if there was a moment when you realized, I want to be an educator.
I was a student at McAteer. I'd hide my books from my friends because I didn't want them to know I was studying. It was a cool thing to study. You were called names, little white boy, because white was associated with education. So I hid my books, but I studied. I played football, ran track. So I knew that my friends didn't have the skills that I had. What I did was started tutoring them after school, hanging out at McAteer, actually. Underneath, there's a dome there. Underneath the dome. And somehow I could explain it where clearly they struggled with the way the teachers were explaining it. For me, that's like electricity. It's just like juice. And that was the spark for me that said, yeah, you know what? I think I want to be a teacher. The selfish reason was I wanted our team to win. I like winning. I wanted them on the team.
They wouldn't have been able to be on the team if they were failing.
No,
that was
it. You had to have a C average, and they struggled to keep a C average.
Yeah.
Carver?
Yeah.
Okay.
Carver.
That is where we're headed now, George Washington Carver. The 5 years that I taught there, all low-income kids of color, all African-American, yet we have the highest rate of proficiency in the entire district. So I know that low-income kids of color who are taking high-stakes assessments can score at the highest levels.
Hitch looks a lot at the gap in, you know, quote-unquote achievement using those scores. That's not the only way to define achievement.
Absolutely, we're looking at multiple measures, but at the end of the day, it's not scores as much as it is students' ability to demonstrate that they have mastered skills. Now, ultimately, that comes out to a score. If I can show you that, hey, the school climate is going up and students feel good about themselves, but then their rate of reading, and if they've mastered 10% of those skills, then we, in my estimation, we haven't done our jobs. What we did is we took 20 schools, 10 which schools that we call historically underserved, which have a large percentage of African-American students in them, and then 10 other schools that are high gap schools. These are schools that if you look at the average rate of proficiency, which is usually in the 70 to 80% range, people would say, oh, that's a good school. But then you look at the gap, it's really 90, 95% for white students and Asian students and 30 to 20% for African-American students. This is where I spent a lot of my time in the Bayview Hunters Point.
Oakdale and 3rd, right in the heart of the Bayview.
Right, so I spent a lot of time here on these corners. Talked about getting in trouble. Even though we lived in the Haight-Ashbury, our church was over here. If you grow up Baptist, in the 60s, you didn't just go to church on Sunday. You went all day Sunday. So I consider this is where I grew up, and that's a big part of why I chose Carver for my first teaching job. Who better to come back and impact a neighborhood than kids who grew up in that neighborhood?
So what was your first day like here?
Scary. I started as a student teacher. So it's getting here and realizing all that you don't know.
Carver's a pitch school.
Yes.
Do you want to talk a little bit about what you see?
Well, I'll talk about pitch schools in general. What we're asking the schools to do is we need you to sit down, you principal, your leadership team, and then your entire staff and community. What is the root cause of low outcomes? So what's the reason for that, African-American students? The second piece then is, what is your theory of action? So let's say you say our root cause is every year we have new teachers, and so the teachers don't have the content knowledge. Our theory of action is, if we're able to make sure our teachers have the content knowledge and the professional development to keep that in them, they'll be able to transfer to that to students. And then what are the strategies you're going to put in place? And then we give you the dollars for that.
And have the dollars started to flow already?
Yes. The first set of dollars flowed in the spring. The next set are flowing now. But we know that if they told us they need to do 7 things, we're able to fund probably 4 of those things. It's still not the funding we need. There's so many needs on top of just the academic needs. It's not a level playing field. What we have to do is do everything we can inside of our system to make it as level as possible.
Was the mural here when you were here?
No, the mural was not. The mural was not here, and I love it. So it is George Washington Carver. His picture, and then on each side of him, to the left or the right, is the periodic table. Then it says at the bottom, education is the key to unlock the golden door of freedom. And so much, I absolutely believe that. Absolutely. And that's what this is all about.
That was Vincent Matthews, superintendent of the San Francisco Unified School District, speaking with KALW's education reporter, Lee Romney. He spoke with Lee as part of her ongoing series, Learning While Black, the fight for equity in San Francisco schools. You can find the rest of her reporting online at KALW.org.